So, Happy New Year, 2023. As I said to the kids, it's the number by which we keep track of the years. And then when we add AD to it, the abbreviation for Anno Domini, it becomes more than simply a statement of what year it is. It becomes a statement of faith. We believe this is the year of the Lord. It's the one He's provided. It's the one over which He reigns. And He's been doing that ever since He came into our midst and brought salvation to full impact in our lives. So, do I have a witness? This is the year of the Lord, 2023. Amen. Jesus is at work. And it's a privilege to stand with you and think about that as Pastors Josh and Rebecca are on vacation. They've been leading us through Isaiah during these recent weeks, so we'll just stay with Isaiah one more Sunday, and we'll be reading today in Isaiah chapter 43 as we discern how He's the Lord of our lives in this new year. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord, we give thanks that You're at work in our world and at work in our lives. We give thanks for Your Word that points us to what You're about. Open our ears, open our hearts. We want to hear Your truth this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Reading in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. Behold, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You ever heard people describe their birthday as another trip around the sun? That's what happens in a year's time. We make our journey around the sun, and actually that description works pretty well for New Year's too. Together, we've all made another trip around the sun. And as you remember from science class, that takes 365 days and about 6 hours to do that. And because of the 6 hours, every fourth year, you remember, we add a day to kind of keep us in sync of where we are going around the sun. And that works pretty well for measuring big swaths of time. But when someone calls you on the phone and says, can you meet me for coffee, they need to be a little more specific than to say in 2023. We need a little more detail than that. And so we also keep up with minutes and hours and days of the week and so on. So your friend will say, can you meet me for coffee Thursday at 11? And you whip out your phone to see if you can. And then you mark it down so you remember. And if you're like me, you also put a reminder to yourself to show up at the appointed time. And that's handy. And we need all of those means of marking time. But if we're going to understand Isaiah, and actually if we're going to understand what it means to live in Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, we need another way to think about time, not just minutes and days and months and so on. That lets us meet our friends on time for coffee, and that works well in a highly organized society like ours to get everybody to the right place at the right time. But it's not how people who live in more agricultural settings talk about time. They don't focus so much on segments of time as they do look for when the time is right. Like, when is it time to pick the apples. And that's not really something you can put on the calendar. You can kind of guess about when it's going to be. But ripeness is affected by what's been happening with the rain and the temperature and so on. And so you know the time is right to pick the apples when they start turning red and start getting sweet. The time is ready. And that's how Isaiah thought about time, not so much precisely scheduled events as more a season in which something is ready, when somebody's ready to act in a particular way. And specifically, when the Lord has something ready in a season. For example, if you know the book of Isaiah, you'll know that most of the early chapters of Isaiah speak to the season when Israel was in her own land. Jerusalem was the capital. The temple was standing there atop Mount Zion. And basically the theme of those early chapters in Isaiah is this. You've turned your back on the Lord and followed other gods, and you're hurting some people, some vulnerable people that the Lord values, so you better repent. Because if you don't, judgment is coming. Isaiah spoke that word to them in a dozen different ways in that season, trying to get them to repent. And if you remember, they didn't. And judgment came, just as he prophesied. The Babylonians came and they captured Israel. They destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and they carried the people off into exile in Babylon, which made for a very different season. They were no longer in charge. They were no longer the center of things. Their temple was gone. Instead of being able to look up and see the temple there on Mount Zion, everywhere they looked, there were pagan temples. It was during that season that someone wrote Psalm 137. Some of you know that psalm already. Here's how it begins. Sad words. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. We remembered Zion, and we wept. We hung up our lyres on the willows there. Our captors taunted us, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Once they were in their own place and in the Lord's temple, and they rejoiced, they sang, they had their harps to sing praises to the Lord in the temple. But now, in that different season, it didn't seem right. And the only song that came up and out of them was a lament. In one way, that's what they should have been doing. There was much to lament in that season. But in another way, they were misreading the season, because also in that season, different as it was, there was a reason for hope. And there was a cause for praise. And that's when this word that we read in Isaiah 43 came alive for them. So picture it. They're still having their prayer meetings down by the river that the psalmist in Psalm 137 reflected on, long on lament, short on praise, when someone read the prophecy of Isaiah, this passage, and it spoke to them in that new place. It wasn't a word that really would have made as much sense when they were still in Jerusalem and at the temple, but now, by the rivers of Babylon, and having lost so much, the word came alive. People of Israel, you're forgotten and rejected in this place. But know this, I've not forgotten you. I'm your Redeemer. I have a plan for you. Your captors have you crying, but I reign as the Holy One, your Creator, your King. I've done this before. Remember how I led your ancestors out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and into freedom? I can do it again. That was the word of hope that they needed. The exact right hope for the word of hope for the place where they were when they could see no way forward. The Lord spoke to them of his way forward for them. Y'all have seen these kind of cartoons. They're always in the papers and magazines at this time of year. Features Father Time of the last year. Usually it's actually with greater detail about Father Time limping off the stage, barely able to make it off, to be replaced by the newborn baby of the new year. And these cartoons carry the sense that with the flip of a calendar page, we get to start over. That all that old messed up, worn out year is over and it's off the stage, and here comes the fresh start and puts a spring in our step. And truth be told, actually, we bring a lot of the mess with us from 2022 into 2023. The Ukraine war is not ending with the flip of a calendar page. And in our own country, inflation and shootings and border crisis are not ending just because it's 2023. And then in our own lives as individuals, we're bringing various challenges and messes forward with us. Health issues, family struggles, job struggles. They don't go limping off the stage just because the ball dropped in Times Square. They come forward with us. And Isaiah doesn't ask us to pretend about that. He didn't ask Israel to pretend about that. They knew where they were. He wasn't asking them to pretend they were somewhere else. But he does ask us to see what the Lord is doing even in the hard places. It's what he did with Israel. It's what he's doing with us. He wants us to see this place, this year, as the Lord's year. Anno Domini, 2023. Look again at verse 19. This may well be the verse in the chapter that you have underlined. I know it's underlined in my Bible. Behold, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, that sounds good. I like that. A new thing. A way forward. And the people of Israel like the sound of that too. And the first thing that came to mind was that the Lord was going to deliver them from Babylon and take them back to Jerusalem. He'd done it before. In fact, he spoke of that as he spoke this word. Look what I did before in Egypt. And actually, he would do that. There would be a miraculous deliverance. But not until 70 years had passed. 70 years of exile. And then the Lord knew that the time was right for that kind of deliverance. He brought the Persian king Cyrus, who would release Israel from captivity in Babylon and let them return to Jerusalem. Huge miracle. And it was the kind that they most had in their hearts as they heard that word from Isaiah. And actually, he still works in miraculous ways. He brings deliverance in ways that we can't bring off on our own. I don't know if y'all ever look at the church website. If you go to the tab that says worship, I believe it is, and go down to stories about what God has done, there are a bunch of video testimonies on there about things that God has done, some miraculous answers to prayer. For example, a few years ago, Barbie Partlow told of what God had done in her life. If you remember, some intense pain had come up in her thigh, and she'd asked some family and friends for prayer, and they prayed with her, but it actually just kept getting worse. And finally, it got to the point that she went to patient first, and they did an x-ray, and it showed a lit-up place on her femur. And so the doctor there said, you better go see an orthopedic doctor, and don't waste any time. Get on with it. So she made an appointment few days out, but first there came a Sunday, and it was one of our healing Sundays, and so Barbie and Steve were doing prayer ministry themselves, and they also then got her to be prayed for, and sure enough, in the next couple of days, the pain began to wane. She wisely kept her appointment anyway with the orthopedic doc, who looked at the x-ray and heard her account of how the pain had come up and said, well, you better go get an MRI, which she did. And you know how those things are. It takes another day or two or whatever for them to be read. So she went, got the MRI, and she saw on the referral sheet, just happened to see a note about why she was being sent for this, and it said malignant neoplasm. Wow, that was alarming. But then when the doctor read the MRI, there was nothing there. And sure enough, the pain had continued to fade and was gone. Wow. Talk about rejoicing. We got to rejoice with Barbie. She's still rejoicing today. The Lord who did miracles in biblical days is still doing them today. And whenever we pray, we need to be open to the full extent of what He can do. And when we're in a hurting place, we can reach out to Him for that very kind of deliverance. He's got that kind of power and goodness working in our lives. But that's not the only way the Lord does new things, which we can also see through what happened with the people in Babylon. You remember, it took 70 years until they were brought back from Babylon to Jerusalem. A lot of time in the meantime. But already during that meantime, the Lord was doing a new thing. Just as He told them that He was about to do a new thing, well, He did. And sure enough, Bible scholars tell us that it was during this season of Israel's life that they first began to have synagogues. Before, when they had the temple in Jerusalem, they had one place. They could go up for festivals. They could do the rituals in the home and so on that they did. But the main place was the temple, where the sacrifices were held and so on. And their identity was tied to that. But now the temple was gone, and they weren't even in their own land. And so they would begin to gather by the river or in people's homes, and they would read the scripture, and they would pray together, and they would celebrate Passover and other rituals. And these gatherings helped them hold on to their identity so that they didn't just fade into the citizenry of Babylon. They held on to who they were as God's chosen people. And when they'd been in Jerusalem, so much of the city and the temple and the culture itself had supported them and who they were. But now they were in a place that actually worked against who they were. And so they had to gather in order to remain faithful. They had to learn how to be countercultural, since the culture was undermining their identity as the people of God. And that's when God began to do a new thing, raising up with them this custom of gathering as His people in synagogues. In fact, the word synagogue means coming together. So the miraculous deliverance would come, but already during the 70 years, the Lord was doing a new thing, and they were being transformed. And it's still one of the ways that the Lord does new things in our lives. A lot of you know Jonathan Smith, grew up in our church, Wally and Peach's son. Jonathan's now one of our student ministry leaders, and back in September, he blew out his knee up on the north parking lot here at the church. On a Wednesday evening, they went out to shoot baskets with the students, and sure enough, his knee got blown out. And the students prayed for him right then, and we all began praying for him in days to come. And we prayed for the Lord to do something to deliver him from his pain and to restore his knee. And a miracle would have been just fine to get him up and going immediately. But as it happened, the Lord's intent was one of these longer, slower, new ways of working in Jonathan's life. And so he had surgery and commenced therapy. And because this was such a bad knee injury, he really couldn't get around on his own, and he went to live with his folks, which wasn't his plan exactly. He's in his 30s. He hadn't intended to be back at home with mom and dad. But I've gotten to visit with Jonathan a couple times in these weeks since he's been at their place, and he described some new things that God's doing in his life. Good things. There have been some advances in family relationships, and there have been some adjustments of how he saw his life and work. He was working at MCV Hospital and will return to that job when he's able to. But he told me about how he's apportioning his time and his energy and his focus in life, and having the pause button pushed and being at his folks put him in a place where God had him available to do some new things. And his trust in the Lord is growing, even though he's still not up and running at full speed. Now, we're trusting that Jonathan will be up and running at full speed. But already the Lord's doing a new thing. In fact, several new things in Jonathan's life. And he's perceived this. And that means he's moved from a place mostly of lament to a place where, hard as the therapy is, there's joy and there's praise. Because God is doing a new thing right where he is. He's believing that the Lord is in the midst of this, even as 2022 ended in a place he didn't imagine, and 2023 is beginning in a place he didn't imagine, he can affirm this is the year of the Lord. So, do you really believe that? When you say 2023 A.D., do you believe that? Even with all the unresolved mess of 2022 spilling over into the new year. The Lord has the same question for you that he had for the people of Israel. I'm doing a new thing. It's ready to spring forth. Now, are you going to perceive it or not? Will you recognize what God is doing? Will you come into the place of praise? Or will you miss it and be stuck only in lament? You know, Happy New Year, lots of fireworks, excitement, but it's also a good time for us to stop and reflect. To reflect on what God has done and what he will do. And we're going to do that in just a moment. We're going to create some space here in worship for you to do some reflecting on what God will do in the new year. Richard's going to put some of the questions up from the Marinate to sort of prompt you in your discussion, and I want you to think about what God did. What time was it in 2022 with you and the Lord? And as you look at 2023, what do you sense the Lord has readied for his work in you in this new year? When we want to make sure that we're not missing what the Lord would do, it's well to take up the classic practices of the church. We call them spiritual disciplines. And so we're also going to reflect on which spiritual disciplines might God be calling me to in the new year. There are some that we do daily on our own, like daily Bible reading and daily prayer and so on, journaling, finding times of solitude and silence. When you do that, you're showing up and saying, Lord, I want to perceive what you're doing. I don't want to miss it. And so even the day in, day out, repetitive nature of those disciplines postures you to see the new thing that God is doing. And we don't just do these disciplines alone as individuals. We also do them together as a church. When you come together to worship, you're taking up a spiritual discipline and saying, Lord, I'm here. Show me the new thing you're doing. I want to be ready. When you join in a life group or come to one of the studies here or join in one of the ways of serving here in the church or with the church, join in one of the ministries in the community, then you've taken up a discipline that puts you in that place to say, I want to perceive what you're up to now, Lord. Show me. I want to be ready and responsive. Sisters and brothers, this is going to be a good year. A really good year. And that's no promise about how hard or easy it will be. It's just the assurance it's going to be good. Because there is one who reigns as Lord and Savior over this year. He's going to be doing some new things in your life. And He wants you to perceive it and receive it and join in with what He's about. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You reign on high, that Your lordship extends to the whole of the globe and into our lives as individuals and families and workers. And thank You that You reign here at St. Giles Church. We're Your people. We want to recognize what You're up to in this season and respond well. We want praise to rise up as we see what You're about. Even if things are still not all right, You're at work. And You're making a way for us, even in the wilderness. And we pray in the name of the one who goes before us, Jesus our Savior. Amen.